Take your Bibles and turn over to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, as we look into the Scriptures. I did make a mistake on the bulletin for printing it out. It is not Brother Jordan that's going to bring the Bible message this morning, but that's the one line that I forgot to switch from last week when I was updating the bulletin, so forgive me for my mistake this week. I was trying to get Brother Jordan and tell him he was preaching anyway, but I want to share a few thoughts with you. If you found Romans chapter 5, let's stand together out of reverence for the Word of God, and we'll begin reading in verse number 6, Romans chapter 5, and verse number 6. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And I love verse number 8, and I've quoted it several times, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And I want to preach this morning on the subject matter on "Because you're worth it." Because you're worth it. Let's have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. Lord, we thank you for the great privilege to be able to gather together freely, Lord, in the house of God this morning. And Lord, that the Word of God can be opened and give an opportunity for the Holy Spirit of God to speak to each and every one of our hearts. And Lord, I pray that he would do just that. If there's one here that's not saved, doesn't have that 100% assurance that they're on their way to heaven for all of eternity with you, then Lord, I pray that they would receive that by the end of today. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, Lord, may our appreciation for the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made for us, Lord, I pray, Lord, that it would deepen, and Lord, that we would be able to take that to a lost and a dying world on how much Jesus loves them. Thank you for the time now, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's not that it has not been said to me, but I have not allowed it to sink in. I've never allowed anybody meaningfully say to me that you're worthless and that nobody cares about you, because ever since the day that I got saved and trusted Christ as my Savior, may I remind us that we are worth something to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. And so if there is no person whatsoever that's here upon the face of the earth that thinks you're worth two nickels rubbing together, then understand that the Lord Jesus Christ believes that you're worth it. I was thinking towards our Veterans Day, and I thought, you know, the reason that so many have served, and may I remind us the difference between today and the last Monday in May. The difference between Memorial Day is we remember those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our nation. And this weekend, specifically tomorrow on the 11th, we remember those that have survived making that sacrifice. And we're so thankful for each and every one of them, man or woman, that have sacrificed. But you say, why would someone do that? Why would, and I was reminded years ago, as I was touring I was going through a museum over in Kiev, Ukraine. It was a World War II museum. And as I was walking through and they were showing the reality of what World War II looked like, I said to the man that was there with me, I said, you know, I said, there was this one certain island, and my memory's failing me this morning, but it was something like 70 to 80% of our soldiers that were preparing to go ashore in that little island never made it ashore, and they died there in the water. They knew that that's what they would be facing as soon as that barricade dropped on their landing vessel, and they were already being fired upon. And I asked the man that was with me, I said, what do you think it is that would cause a young man, 17, 18 years old maybe, because they lied about their age, to be able to get enlisted and be able to go defend our nation? I said, what do you think it would be to cause them, when that barricade were to drop, that they knew that, honestly, some of them, their feet never got wet because their life was taken from them that quickly? What would cause them? And one man that was there with me, they said, well, defending the homeland. And I said, I could recognize that if they died back in America. I said, but this is 3,000 miles from home. I said, this is for a plot of ground that they would never call home. They would never inhabit it. They would never have their mail sent there. They would never set up residence. I said, but it's for the cause of freedom. And I said, the cause of freedom was worth it. For everyone that signed voluntarily and raised that right hand towards heaven. I want to remind us today, and I mentioned at the beginning of the service that today is actually the birthday of the Marines, November the 10th of 1775. And that commission was actually made in 1921, that November the 10th would be celebrated every year. Our U.S. Navy, October the 13th of 1775, for their birth date. The U.S. Army on June the 14th of 1775. Our Air Force, they didn't need as much time to get ready. September the 18th of 1947. I don't believe we have any charter members that are here with us today. Our Coast Guard of August the 4th of 1790. Since the inception and the birth date of all five branches of our military, there's been an estimated just under, and these are just estimates, about 57 million men and ladies that have voluntarily served throughout the history of our U.S. military. And I'm thankful for every one of them. That is one thing that God never chose for my life. If there was one other thing that I do wish, according to the flesh, He would have allowed us to be able to do, and that would have been serve. And I won't tell you what branch, because I love you all. That's the politician coming out, okay? Just kidding, I'm a preacher, not a politician. 57 million that have raised their hand towards heaven and voluntarily said, we have something that is worth fighting for and something that is worth defending. But may I move on past the veterans of our U.S. military, and what we read in Romans chapter number 5 this morning is we have a Savior that looked down from heaven and saw a multitude that was lost without Christ, and understood their eternal destination was going to be eternity separated from the Almighty Father and God in heaven. And I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who looked down upon us and He said, because you're worth it. He stepped out of eternity, as John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And as I look down through these scriptures, I want to share just three simple thoughts on because you're worth it. And on a spiritual sense, not so much for any branch of our U.S. military today, but from a spiritual sense, reminding us about the Lord Jesus Christ and why He did what He did. Because we're worth it, even though the person that we were before salvation. You know, just in the verses that we read down through here, look what the Bible says in verse number 6. I want to describe to us, using biblical terms and biblical adjectives, on the Lord Jesus describing us before salvation, and Jesus still felt that we were worth it. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That describes us, the ungodly. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Three words that are used to describe our spiritual condition before Almighty God is, number one, ungodly, number two, sinners, and number three, enemies. You say, but no, I'm a pretty good person. But according to the Scripture, we are ungodly sinners who are enemies of God before salvation. Now, can I say this as we look down through the Scriptures? The Bible says in verse number 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." In other words, if we're all good people and you're doing well, there's a good possibility I'm not going to die for you. He said peradventure. That word peradventure is an old English word. It means by chance. If it's not a righteous person, then maybe by chance, peradventure, someone would die for even a good man. So you've got a righteous person and a good person. And the Bible says it's very rare for someone that they'd be willing to die for someone who's righteous or someone who's a good man. But Jesus chose to die for those of us that are ungodly, those of us that are sinners, those of us that are enemies against Almighty God. And when we look in the Scriptures, we're saying, why would He choose to do that? Because we're worth it to Him. I was reminded as I was reading this passage of Scripture and reading these adjectives that describe each and every one of us, I was reminded back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 where it says that God said, "Let us make man in our image." You understand, when God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, it was the first part of creation that God actually took the time, and He did not speak into existence, but He took the time and came down from that dirt that He spoke into existence. And the Bible says that He formed man out of the dust of the ground. And then for the first time, it says that God breathed into man the breath of life. The first things that the hand of God ever touched was forming mankind. The first thing that the lips of God ever touched as He breathed into, and you say, well, it doesn't say His lips touched Him. I'm just going to say He got down there and gave Him mouth to mouth, okay? And breathed into Him the breath of life. But listen, since that time, as man was created in the Garden of Eden, then God took the time and took that rib. Now listen, God didn't just think enough of man just to form man with His bare hands, but He did take the rib out of Adam's side and formed woman. So yes, God thinks as much about the ladies as He does about the men, okay? And we look at that, but then when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and their fellowship was broken between them and Almighty God, may I say this? We have just a few chapters of the perfection before the fall. We have chapter number 3 with the fall of man in the garden and that fellowship being broken. But may I say, from chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 15 of the book of Genesis, to the remainder of the Bible is all of the Lord Jesus Christ and the plan of God to be able to reconcile man back to Almighty God. You know why that is? Because we're worth it to God. God created man to be able to have fellowship with Him and to walk and to be able to talk with Him and to be able to have that relationship, but that was broken because of sin. And there was a price that needed to be paid. And Jesus said, "I'll pay it." Even though of the person that we were, ungodly, sinner, and enemies. Those words used to be able to describe who we were before God. But aren't you thankful that I'm a new creature now? Because through the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm no longer the enemy of God. But He said this. He said, "I'm not even calling you servants, but I'm calling you friends." And I'm so thankful because of the Lord Jesus Christ that He said, It doesn't matter who you were. You say, well, some people never get saved. They don't realize that they're an enemy of God. They don't realize that they're a sinner before Almighty God. You know, one of the hardest things that there is today, as you're talking with people and you're trying to share with them this matter of eternal salvation, that the Lord Jesus Christ loves them so much that he died for them and shed his blood, we'll get to that here in just a moment, is just them realizing that they're a sinner and that they need a Savior. If you listen, you can go down to the swimming hole all summer long and throw out a life ring to every person that's out there, but until someone acknowledges that they're drowning, they're not going to reach for their life ring. They've got to acknowledge that first and say that I need some help. Everything that I'm doing, all the kicking and all the flailing and all the breathing and all the going down and trying to come back up, all of that's useless. I need someone to save me. And just in these matters, these few verses, if we'd understand that we are ungodly, we are sinners, and we are the enemy of God, but the Lord Jesus Christ, it didn't matter the person that we were. May I say, we're also worth the price that he paid for us. Now, there's been several times, and I want to lay this foundation this way. There's been several times that as we traveled into different countries and we were preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus, if we'd have people with us, now there were times I never brought back one souvenir. If I was there by myself, but if I had newbies that were there with me, they needed to take something back. We understood that. And we'd always set some time aside to be able to go down to the souvenir strip or the store or something, be able to find something for them to be able to bring back to be able to remember that. Probably one of the places, Brother Larry, you've been there with me, is that market over in Ghana. Honestly, one of the, you talk about high pressure sales, and they're good at it. They are very good. But here's one thing that I told everybody as we'd get back in the bus or we'd get back in the van. I would always say this. Now listen, if two of you bought the exact same thing, don't ask each other how much you paid for it. Because one of you, without a doubt, got it cheaper than the other one. There's no set prices on it. And I told him this. I said, it is valuable to you. And if it's worth it to you for what you paid for it, then don't let anybody else tell you different. And there were some times that someone did tell what they paid for it. And I'm like, that's not worth it to me. I got them down another $10. But I came back and I started looking. You know something? You try to put a price tag on an ungodly sinner that is an enemy of God and say, how much are they worth? Can I say, long before the first sin was ever committed, God the Father, God the Son already had a plan in place. John said that he saw a lamb as he had been slain since the foundation of the world. The plan was already in place. He knew that man would fall. He knew that man would sin. And you say, what's it worth to an almighty God to be able to reconcile a sinner who is ungodly and an enemy before Almighty God? Now listen, if we're putting a price on it, we'd say they're not worth that much. For some in society, listen, society is looking at him today saying, listen, don't you waste another dime on that person. They're not worth it. And there's sometimes that you and I have both walked away from buying something because we said the price was too high and it's just not worth it. Can I say this? The price that Jesus paid for us. Look what the Bible says. Verse number 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Verse number 9 says, being now justified by His blood. May I say that it was worth the death burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to purchase your soul and my soul, who were enemies, sinners, and ungodly before Almighty God. It was worth it. On the cross, one of the sayings of Christ on the cross is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And separation from Almighty God. You say, Jesus, why did you do that? And when we get to ask him, listen, we read it in Scripture. The reason that he did it is it was worth the price for us to be reconciled to him. You say, I've never had anybody love me as much as that. No, but it was worth Jesus laying down his life. It was worth Jesus being crucified. And we know, according to John chapter 10 and verse number 18, we know that no man taketh his life, but Jesus said, I lay it down willingly. Now, it's one thing to turn himself in and allow himself and then for them to take his life. But listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked up Mount Calvary's hill, listen, I don't believe they had to fight him. I don't believe they had to kick his legs out from underneath him. I don't believe they had to tie his arms back to be able to hold them to the arms of that cross. I believe Jesus walked up and listen, they crucified a man that day like never a man they'd crucified before. As he laid down on that cross, he said, you're not taking my life from me. He laid it down willingly. Then the Bible says, after he'd completed everything, listen, the Bible says he gave up the ghost. Can I say there was only one person upon Mount Calvary's hill that day that decided the exact moment on when Jesus was going to die? There was just one. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost and commended it into the Father's hands. Listen, and sin's debt was paid for. You say, why did Jesus go through all of that? Simply because you and I are worth it. Why would a U.S. soldier, airman, or marine? Why would they go and sacrifice around this world? Listen, if you want something that'll jerk the tears right out of you, start watching these little videos of the soldiers coming back and being united with their families, walking into the schools. I don't know who put one on social media. I was by myself yesterday, so I watched it. And I'm sitting there, I'm saying, I'm thinking my family ain't around. There's tears coming down both sides of my face. And I'm watching these little kids and they're just bawling their eyes out as their daddy or their mama comes home. You say, why would they go and do that? Because freedom's worth it to them. But may I remind us, greater than all of that, why would the Lord Jesus Christ suffer and bleed and die? Why would he go through that on the cross of Calvary? May I remind us, it's because your soul is worth it to him. It's worth it. You say, but I've been told all my life that you're worthless. May I tell us that there's a Savior who says we're to die for. And we're worth it. I'm not going to ask you if you've ever bought your wife or your husband something that was so overpriced. But you said, oh, they're worth it to me. You got all caught up in emotions and you weren't thinking logically. And then you told them what you paid for it, and they're like, that ain't worth it. Go take it back. It's a thought that counts. But listen, sometimes that happens. We're like, you paid what for that? And then we have to say, but you're worth it. And I say this, when God looked at Jesus, and Jesus came down and died on the cross for us, there was never a why. Because in the eyes of God, to send his only begotten son, he said, you're worth it. You're worth it. Even for the person that we were. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person and Jesus died for me. No, he died for the ungodly. He died for the sinner. The price that he paid because we're worth it. But then may I say this, the purpose for which he bought us. It's worth it to him. I read down through, you know, the Bible doesn't stop at Romans chapter number 5, but we get into chapter number 6. And after this whole explanation of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, he has showed us that we're worth it Even though the person that we were sinners, we were enemies, we were ungodly. In all of that, the price that was paid through his death and blood that was shed upon the cross, through all of that, he said, what's the purpose? It's worth it to him. He says in chapter 6 and verse number 1, he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Listen, to all the blessings in chapter number 5, when we have a proper understanding and comprehension of what Jesus did for us, what can we say then? According to chapter 6 and verse number 1. How can I continue being the same person that I was before Jesus saved me if he paid that much for me? How can I continue in the same lifestyle? How can I continue going down that same road? The Bible teaches us down in verse number 10. Look at this, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 10. He says, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. I believe this. I believe one of the worst things that we can do to our U.S. servicemen or women that go off and fight and sacrifice for the freedoms that we hold dear to us is for us to take that freedom for granted and trample it under feet and say, you know something? Now listen, I had an experience this week. We were driving down through Sedona, Arizona. Honestly, beautiful place. We stopped there. Brother Josh says, you want a cup of coffee? Just that time. And we pulled in there, grabbed a cup of coffee. The girl stayed in the van. I get a text about 10 minutes later. What's taking you so long in the coffee shop? Came out and I said, I had the full Sedona experience. In Sedona, Arizona, they have them red rocks. And it is the vortex for centering yourself. Thinking, we're off bubble anyway. But for centering yourself, the center of the universe, everything right there. And I walked in and I was able to start witnessing to a lady that was inside that store, inside that coffee shop. And I got the full Sedona experience while being able to try to give the gospel to her. And she said, well, this is getting lively, isn't it? She said, this is challenging. I said, we haven't even gotten to a challenge yet. And she continued to talk, and we weren't making any headway, but she did say this. She said, we're diametrically opposed to each other. We're not believing the same thing, but we can have this conversation. And I said, you know, I said, that's the blessing of America. I said, is we have the freedom and the right to disagree. And to be able to have freedom of speech to be able to do that. But I thought to all of our U.S. servicemen and women that have fought to protect that freedom, to come back and trample that under our feet is disrespectful. Those flags were being hung up there yesterday. May I say this? From the time we took them out of the package, to be able to steam them off. Listen, they never once touched the ground. We said, make sure on that. You know why? Because listen, that one hasn't touched the ground. We're making sure to be able to respect that freedom that has been sacrificed for because it's worth it to us. But may I come back to the scriptures now? And how can we that profess that we are saved and living for God trample under our feet the liberty and the freedom and the grace that God has bestowed upon us? That's why he started in chapter number 6, verse number 1. After all the freedoms that God's given to us, what shall we say then? This is what Jesus has done for us. He said, you ought to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. That means we ought to live in the freedom that He has provided for us. And we ought to live in it on a daily basis. Listen, the price that He paid, regardless of who we are, He paid the same price for everybody. You say, well, I'm wealthy, and that person's poor. Guess what? The avenue to heaven still goes through the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. He paid the same price for every soul. Same price, His blood. But now that we are saved, can I say it was worth it to Him because of the life that we get to live after we've trusted Christ as Savior? We get to live in victory. You know, the sins and being an enemy of God and being ungodly. Listen, I'm not the same person that I was before I was saved. The Bible teaches us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm not the same person I was before Jesus saved me. And it's so wonderful today that it was worth it to Jesus. I'm worth it to Jesus. What a blessing. So thankful for what He's done for us. Now, may I say this morning, that if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, listen, I'm not talking about you're a member of a church. I'm not talking about you have religious duties. I'm not talking about you pray it over and over and over. I'm talking about you've never come before the Lord and said, Lord, this is who I am. I'm a sinner. I'm ungodly. I'm an enemy of God. Listen, I'm anti-God. That's what the Bible teaches us we are. God, I'm a sinner before You. But I'm trusting the price that You paid to be able to purchase my soul. And Lord, I'm trusting only in You for that salvation. I'm not trusting in any good work. I'm not trusting in church membership. I'm not trusting in anything else. I'm simply trusting in Christ for all of eternity. If you've never done that this morning, can I say this? Boy, today's the day to do it. Today's the day. You know why? Because you're worth it to Jesus. You're worth it. He loves your soul. And if you cannot say with 100% assurance that if you were to draw your last breath this morning and go out into eternity, if you cannot say that you know 100% that you'll spend eternity with Christ, can I say this? Don't let another moment go by. Trust Christ for all of eternity. Those that He saves, He keeps for all of eternity. But for those of us that are saved, aren't you glad that you were worth it to Him? I may not be worth it to a lot of people, but I'm worth it to Jesus. I'm worth it to Jesus. For Him to die for me, to shed His blood. You know, there's a whole lot more preaching that I I'm even worth Him coming back for. My dad always said, when us kids got separated from him, someone said, aren't you worried about him getting kidnapped? And he said, no, they'd get him down the road and they'd turn around and bring him back. You know, I'm thankful Jesus says I'm worth coming back for. And I'm going to get to spend all of eternity with Him. Now, if we're saved and on our way to heaven, why not allow God to be able to change our lives? And let's not trample under feet the grace and the freedom that He's given to us to be able to serve Him. Because in closing, let me say this. We're worth it to Him, but because of what He's done for us, He ought to be worth it to us. He ought to be worth it. I was talking over a few situations this week, and I said, at some point, we have to get to the point with sin that's in our lives. We have to get to the point that we understand that our relationship with Christ is worth getting rid of that. And our relationship with Jesus needs to be worth more than anything else that this world has to offer. you're worth it to Jesus. But is you living right, is Jesus worth it to you? Let's stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed.